بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, many hujjaj have already returned and others will be returning soon. The Masnoon Dua taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Hadi returns, we should make this dua for him. قَبِلَ اللَّهُ حَجَّكْ وَغَفَرَ ذَنْبَكْ وَأَخْلَفَ نَفَقَتَكْ. May Allah Ta'ala accept your Hajj. قَبِلَ اللَّهُ حَجَّكْ. So we tell the Hadi, may Allah accept your Hajj. وَغَفَرَ ذَنْبَكْ. May Allah Ta'ala forgive you all your sins. وَأَخْلَفَ نَفَقَتَكْ. And may Allah replace you, substitute you for all the things, all the money that you spent, your expenditure. You spent money in the path of Allah to undertake this journey of Hajj. Now may Allah Ta'ala replace you with whatever money you spent. So three du'as have been mentioned. The first thing, may Allah Ta'ala accept your Hajj. So this, for any ibadah that we make, we always make dua to Allah Ta'ala to accept it. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in were very, very cautious. They were very concerned whenever they did any action that it must not happen that Allah Ta'ala rejects this amal of mine due to any deficiencies and shortcomings. May Allah Ta'ala accept it. So قَبِلَ اللَّهُ عَجَّكُ وَغَفَرَ ذَنْبَكْ. May Allah forgive your sins. The Haji may have made some mistakes, and we hope that every Haji undertook this journey with sincerity and he spent his time, her time correctly in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gaining that love of Allah Rabbul Izzat, the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the Haji like this returns, رَجَعَكَ يَوْمَ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ, returns like the day when his mother gave birth to him. So Allah forgives the Haji's sins. And of course the Haji spent so much money, it's not easy, it's very costly, it's not something cheap. So it's, many of them say, life savings. So may Allah Ta'ala substitute the person now for whatever he has spent in his path. So again we make dua for the Hujjaj, may Allah bring them safely. And amongst the Hujjaj who left, there are those who will not return anymore. They have become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From my little knowledge, at least I think 4 or 5 people from South Africa have already passed on there. Some just before the Hajj, some during the Hajj, and some just after the Hajj. How fortunate, how lucky are such people. Really imagine the plains of Muzdalifah, a person becomes sick, a person gets a coma, finish the Arafat, the Hajj was made, and then the person passes away in Makkah Mukarramah. So many people will not return. But a Haji like this, who made the Hajj and stayed in the state of Ihram, till the day of Qiyamah, the person will get the sawab of Hajj. Person wakes up from the qabr, saying the Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik. May Allah Ta'ala accept all the Hujjaj's Hajj, and may Allah Ta'ala take all those upon whom Hajj is compulsory, may Allah create the means quickly for them to undertake this journey of Hajj as soon as the opportunity comes. The important thing is, for the Hujjaj now especially, that you have returned, or you are returning, you have made solemn promises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the Hajj. Whether it was in Mina, Muzdalifah, Arafat, or when you were on the Mataf, or by the Multazam, or in Madinah Munawwara, wherever, a Haji had made Tawbah, Istighfar, and promise Allah Ta'ala that he or she and she will not come back to the sins that they have committed. Now it is important after the Haji returns home. Now is the real test. Al-Hajj al-Mabroor, an accepted Hajj, ulama have said the alamat of acceptance, the sign of acceptance when a Haji returns is that there is a positive change in his life, in his lifestyle, her lifestyle. The person becomes more deeni now. The consciousness of Allah Ta'ala comes in the person's heart. The character is better. The person becomes softer in nature. He is kind. The Haji now forgives others. The Haji has a polite nature. The Haji makes sure that he makes amends with all those people who he had hurt, or he had taken away the right or property, huquq al-ibad. In fact, before Hajj he should have done that. But now the person becomes conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's azamat al-kibriya, and he makes sure that huquq Allah is fulfilled and huquq al-ibad is fulfilled. Now the person is cautious with regard to his eye, with regard to his tongue, with his ears. The person is very careful that he or she must not fall into an abyss of sin and vice and evil. So the tawbah we made, don't break that tawbah. The promises we made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, try our level best to fulfill that promise. The lessons we learn in Hajj of sabr and patience, now continue having sabr in your life. Previously the Haji used to get angry before he left for Hajj. Now the anger should be in his control. The heart was cleansed of all these spiritual maladies. The heart is spark. So make sure that there is no now sin that comes in the dark dots and spots of sin comes onto the heart. Tawbah, istighfar should continue. Ikhlas in all our a'mal should continue. The beautiful teachers, the teachings we learned in Hajj, the good experiences we had, we will share it with others, but make sure that we don't do it out of show and ostentation, lest we destroy all our good deeds. But there were so many things we learned. We saw brotherhood there. We saw what it was to assist the next person, Muslim brother or sister. Now these good qualities that we developed and we saw in others, we should now bring them into our lives. And for you and I also, even though we did not go for Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings these opportunities and seasons, as we say, like Ramadan, then Hajj came, Qurbani, next will be Muharram. So Allah brings these seasons and these occasions for us as a reminder again to bring closeness to Allah, to become close to Allah Rabbul Izzat, to become Allah wala, to become conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially in these months, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram and Rajab. These are Arba'atul Ashurul Hurum. Ashurul Hurum. Quran talks about the Ashurul Hurum. فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ. Do not oppress during this month. Ulama have explained, do not commit sins during this month. Why you should not disobey Allah Ta'ala in any month. But more especially during these months. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi, under this verse, he said, دَلَّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْمَعْصِيَةَ فِي الْأَزْمِنَةِ الْمُبَارَكَةِ وَالْأَمْكِنَةِ الْمُبَارَكَةِ أشد في القبح وأشد القبح. In other words, ma'asiyah, sins done in Mubarak days, during in Mubarak months, like Ramadan, also like Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram, sins done during these Mubarak months and days, and also sins done in Mubarak places, like Haramain Sharifain. This is the worst and most ugliest of sins that we can do. And the sin, the punishment is severe. Therefore, even though Hajj is complete, Qurbani is complete, may Allah accept it, we must still make sure that we don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Haji must have felt that bond and attachment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You and I, we made Qurbani, and we explained the taqarrub ila Allah, becoming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the different occasions and opportunities Allah gives us, tawfiq, to do some good deed, Quran we read, dhikr, tilawat, namaz, tahajjud, whatever it is. We become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi says, that the more closer I come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more closer I get to Allah Rabbul Izzat, the more I see how far I am. In other words, how much more I have to endeavor, how much more I have to strive really to reach my destination and gain the real closest and true muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we still have a lot of effort to do. We still have a lot of work to do and to accomplish and achieve in our role as believers and on this road towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala make it easy for all of us to gain His qurb. Ulama have explained that to gain the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one has to make ta'at. Taat means to obey Allah Rabbul Izzat. It was time for Isha. Allah's command was to make Isha. So with Allah's fadl and karam, we performed our Isha. This was a good deed. We obeyed Allah in this act of worship of Salah. Like that, other actions where Allah has commanded us to do good deeds. So we fulfill those good deeds. Then the istarkul mukhalafat, that we abandon all those things that is going to go against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Against the prohibition. Allah says, do not do this. So we should now obey that command of Allah and prohibition, and we should not go against it. If Allah says, don't go close to zina, we should not go close to zina. So tarkul mukhalafat. And then ulama have said, tasfiyatul qulub. Making this dil paak saaf. And this is the effort of tazkiyah. This is the effort of Islam. And unfortunately, most of us shirk in this field. We'll do good deeds. But as far as making sure this heart of ours becomes saaf, paak, clean, pure, to rid and purge all these spiritual maladies we have, whether it is hasad, kibar, bughz, adawat, illicit relationships, love of dunya, haram, pleasures, whatever it is. To make this dil of ours clean and pure, to gain this qalbi salim. In this, most of us, we don't show much faith, we don't pay much attention towards this. To gain the closeness of Allah Ta'ala, fi'lu ta'at, tarkul mukhalafat, and tasfiyatul qulub. In other words, ridding all the raza'il, the filth that has come onto our heart, has gathered on our heart, we have to make tasfiyah of it. Tasfiyah means, as you say in dua, illa hamari diloko musaffa mujalla muzakka bana. This is tasfiyah, tazkiyah of the heart. You see, when we commit sins, then this is the nourishment, the ghiza of the nafs. The nafs, the egos, the bad nafs, the passions, the evil, it thrives on sins. This is its nourishment. The moment somebody does wrong, now the nafs is going to gain strength. So we are feeding our own nafs, and we're making our nafs stronger and stronger to such an extent that eventually, Allah forbid, we become slaves of our nafs. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَىٰ. So much so as though now, Allah forgive us, we are making this nafs of ours our ilah. Because a person obeys his ilah, a person obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is the master, we are the slave. Here we made the nafs, the evil temptations, the egos, the whims, the fancies, all those things that are taking us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we made that our master. So now to abandon sin and to refrain from sins becomes difficult. To read salat, Quran, dhikr, it is easy. But to stay away from that haram, person is making the deal, he knows it is haram. He knows there's interest involved in it. He knows it's from backdoor that he's getting it. He knows he's cheating. He knows he's deceiving the customer. But still he's indulging in it. So now what's going to happen? He's not going to gain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not making this mujahada in the field of tazkiyah and to make this dil paak and saaf. One has to make mujahada. And mujahada we explained so many times, that a person has to exert pressure against his nafs. The nafs is tempting him towards haram. He must say, no, I will not obey my nafs. I will do opposite to that. I will oppose my nafs, and I will obey my Allah and my Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is what we need to do. And therefore, hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Al-kayyisu man dana nafsa." وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. An intelligent person, a wise person, is that person who suppresses his nafs. And he does actions for the hereafter. Good actions for the hereafter. Two things. One is suppressing the nafs. In other words, not following the person's one's egos and fancies and desires and haram pleasures. And he does good deeds. وَالْعَاجِزُ مَنْ أَتْبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا وَتَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ. And a foolish person, a weak person, is that person who makes himself follow his nafs and desires. And then he just has hopes on Allah Ta'ala. Allah is Ghafur Rahim. Allah will just make me mark. Let me enjoy myself. Let me carry on with the wrong, the function I'm having. Although it's again Quran and Hadith and Sunnah. It's okay. I'll just do it. Allah will make me maaf. No, my respected friends and elders. Why? Allah is Ghafur Rahim. There's no doubt. Allah is most merciful. Arhamur Rahimin. Allah loves to forgive. And we keep on giving hopes for the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's nizam. Allah wants us to obey Him. Allah wants us to make this mujahada and suppress our nafs. And when we do this, then we will weaken our nafs. And once a person weakens his nafs, he's making it weaker, weaker, weaker. Now he is gaining control over his nafs. He is like the rider who has great experience now. And he's riding that horse. He knows the tricks of the horse. And he's a good rider. He's a skillful rider. Now he has good control over his nafs. Or good control over his horse. Like that the person now, the salik who is making continuous mujahada. And despite the temptation being so strong for the sake of his Allah, he will say, no, I will not do or go towards haram. I will not cast lustful glance at that haram woman or that beardless boy. I will not go towards zina. I will not cheat. I won't make ghibat. I won't get involved in futile activities. I want my life to become pure, clean. Yes, we are all human beings. We all slip. We all make guna. Allah has given, open the doors of tawbah for us. Therefore, Mashayikh have said, humne tay kiya, humne tay kiye, isi tarah se manzile, humne tay kiye, is tarah se manzile, gir pare, gir kar uthe, uth kar chale. This is how we traverse the different stations and on this road towards Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. This is how we journey towards Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. How? Gir pare, we fell down. We made a mistake, we fell down. But the moment we fell down, gir kar uthe, we stood up immediately. We made sincere tawbah istighfar. And after that, we didn't just sit back and say, oh, now this is the end of my life and I did this guna, now I won't be forgiven. No. Utkar chale. After waking up, the person then says, I walked. I continued my journey to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But a person makes guna, he must make tawbah. And continue this road, which is pure, towards Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala, and I used to say, أَقِلُّ الذُّنُوبِ يعني غُنَاهُ كَمْ كَرَوْ Refrain from sins. Minimize your sins. In other words, you shouldn't be committing any sins. Have no sins. Why? فَإِنَّكُمْ لَنْ تَلْقُوا اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِشَيْءٍ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ قِلَّةِ الذُّنُوبِ أو كما قالت سيدنا عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها. She says that you must refrain from sins. Make your sins قليل, little. Because you will never be meeting Allah Ta'ala with anything better, afzal, than having little sins. In other words, a person has hardly any sins, then the day of Qiyamah, he won't go through great pain and suffering, inshaAllah. Those are light sins, Allah will pardon him, Allah will forgive him. Of course, we must try and reach Allah Ta'ala with a clean heart, clean slate, without any sins. Allah must make us pak, saf. This is our endeavor, this is our attempt. What she is, and Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, is encouraging us to refrain from sins. Don't indulge in sins. This is how you should be meeting your Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So dil ki safai, this is most important. And turn to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And develop in us. And this is what we are all striving for. The love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. It's all to do with loving Allah, loving Allah, loving Allah. Having ishq of Allah. When ishq of Allah, ishq ilahi comes into our heart, then we will become obedient slaves. Then to make ta'at of Allah easy. Then to make tarkul mukhalafat. And then to make tasfiyah of a heart becomes easy. Because now the person is gone crazy in his love for Allah. He'll do anything what Allah has commanded. And this is what we learn in the lessons of Qurbani, which we spoke about the last few weeks. That Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he gave his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu. Prepared to sacrifice all his pleasures, his own son also, for the sake of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And that is why I mentioned previously also, if you want to love any person and really give your life and your soul and your to any person, that is, give it to Allah. Because there is no fear of judai. Judai means separation. Allah is Hayy and Qayyum. Any other lover of this world, that person will one day pass away, the person will perish, the person will die. So that love came to an end. But the love of Allah Ta'ala continues. And there is no question of disloyalty from the side of Allah. You're obedient to Allah, you love Allah, Allah loves you. Allah is never disloyal. Allah will never break that friendship. In dunya, a person loves a person, but some argument, something happens, and that friendship is broken. So there's no be-wafai from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what we need to bring. And therefore, Ghalib said in the poem, Loku ishq ne sharabi bana diya. Loku ishq ne sharabi bana diya. That people, because of the illicit relationship they had, and the love, and the man has gone crazy, and people are sitting, and what are they doing? Friends are sitting. So the company is evil. He said it made the person a sharabi, a drunkard, an alcoholic. He became a person who just took substance, and he became one who takes drugs, a drug addict. Log ko ishq ne sharabi bana diya. Then he says, Mujhe, but me, O my Allah, teri ishq ne namazi bana diya. But your ishq, O Allah, made me a namazi. And this is what you're talking about. When a person really loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can he bring changes in his life? So many people were be namazis, didn't make any namaz in their life. But when they took that change, and they plunged into the sea of the marifat and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they said, enough is enough, and I want to make tasfiyah of my heart, and they gave their hands into the hands of a mentor who guided them correctly, then there was a revolution in their lives. There was an inqilab in their lives. And then the person became a namazi. Like that, he became an abid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most great, respected friends and us. Allah is most great, Allah is most great, Allah is most great. Hazrat Shah ki Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah used to say that jitna bara naam Allah ka hai, utna bara meherbani hai unka. That how great Allah's name is, like that is Allah Ta'ala's benevolence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness, Allah's mercy, Allah's meherbani. So Allah is most kind, most merciful. We must bring about the greatness of Allah, the love of Allah in our hearts. It reminds me of the qissa of Hatim Tai, or Adi bin Hatim. Hatim Tai was an extremely generous person, very, very, very generous person. In fact, they use his name in amongst the Arabs in the Arabic world, or when we're giving proverbs, then we say, person has sakhawat and jood. He has such generosity like who? Hatim Tai. When he would give to people, he would give so much that there was nobody equivalent to him in his generosity amongst the people that time. But he died as a non-Muslim, as a disbeliever. His son was Adi. So then the incident, Adi radiallahu anhu decides to see who is this Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was actually moving away from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and had no interest. But he said, okay, let me see. If the man is genuine, I'll accept what he's saying. And he comes, and the moment he enters, the people recognize this is Hatim Tai's son, Adi. They begin to say, Adi bin Hatim, Adi bin Hatim. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam invites him to Islam, Aslim Taslam. Accept Islam, we'll be saved from the fire of Jahannam. He says, I'm on a deen already. I've got my own religion. The Prophet says, I know about your religion. Enter into Islam. As the Muslim is speaking to Adi bin Hatim radiallahu ta'ala, an elderly slave woman suddenly appears, and she comes to ask Rasulullah for something. So obviously she's disturbing this conversation. She does not know. She comes in, and Rasulullah sees to her needs. And Adi is watching all this. He wanted to see if this person who is claiming to be a Nabi, is he a Nabi? Or is he just a king? And he says, no, this man cannot be a king. A king will never see to a slave woman like this. This man has got such humility. And he's actually now seeing to that slave woman. After that, the Rasulullah takes him to his house, takes Adi bin Hatim to his house. And Rasulullah gives him a mat to sit on. And first Adi refuses. And Nabi Sallam insists. And Nabi Sallam himself sat just on the bare ground, on the floor, with no mat under him. And Adi bin Hatim said, no, this man can never be a king. Then he is definitely a Nabi, because this is the quality of a Nabi. And then he accepts Islam. So Adi bin Hatim radiallahu ta'ala becomes a Sahabi. So Adi bin Hatim, there was a time when some person, of course, he also had this generosity in him. And somebody comes to borrow some pots or utensils. There was probably some walima or some nikah. He asked him, how many pots you want? The person said, I need so much for so many people. He said, okay. When you want it, certain day. On that particular day, Adi bin Hatim Tai radiallahu ta'ala sent those number of pots that man required with food cooked for the person. And the man says, but Adi, I didn't ask you for food, I only asked you, I just wanted to borrow the pots. He said, I am the son of Hatim Tai. In our family, it's not possible that we just give empty pots. We are such that we have been trained to be generous people. Ulama say, imagine, Adi bin Hatim Tai send those pots filled with food, still showing his generosity. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most generous, most kareem. How will Allah not then favor us and give us when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When we beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are sincere, and we want this tasfiyah in our life, we want this change in our life, we want to become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want the ishq of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Whatever hajat we have, whether it's a dunyawi hajat, ukhrawi hajat, some worldly need, some akhirat need, Allah is most generous, far more greater than Adi and Adi's father. These are makhluq. These people's possessions of dunya is limited. Allah's khazana is full, barpoor, as we say. So may Allah Ta'ala grant all of us His true ishq and muhabbat. Inshallah, we'll continue more on the ishq and muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really, what mashayikh have showed this road, it makes things so easy in our life that when we have the ishq of Allah, may Allah grant me first and all of you the real love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then everything will fall in place. Then it will be easy for us now to make that mujahada, combat sins, stay away from vice and evil. So again, we make dua and we express our condolence to all those people whose family members passed away, especially those hujjaj kiram. And also we welcome the hujjaj back home. But the lesson again for those hajis and for all of us, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've come from a mubarak lands. Now continue this journey to Allah Rabbul Izzat. The best of your ability, having a clean, pure heart, any ghalati, any mistake, make sincere tawbah and continue the journey. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.